All right, brethren, Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Now, I read the whole chapter, and I just want to go a little at a time here with you. But verse 1, we read, "And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, 'Go view the land, even Jericho.' And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there." Now the Lord is about to deliver Israel over the land, over the Jordan into the land of Canaan. And the first city they're going to come to is Jericho. And it's a huge walled city, walled up to heaven, Scripture said. Walls that are impenetrable to man, but they're not impenetrable to God. And inside those walls, there's a harlot named Rahab. And God is able to go through those walls and get that harlot and bring her out because she's his. And wherever God has an elect child, he's able to do the same and bring them out, no matter how high the walls. We have Jericho walls around our heart. He's able to make them fall down. And he's able to bring his child out from religion or wherever they are. He's able to do it. And salvation is all of God's grace. Rahab was a harlot. She was a sinner. She's identified in Scripture. I guess every time her name's mentioned, she's Rahab the harlot. The harlot Rahab. She was not a natural descendant of Abraham. She wasn't a child of Israel. She was a foreigner. She was a stranger. She was a Gentile. She dwelt in Jericho, and she was an Amorite. God had cursed the Amorites. He had said that he would destroy the Amorites. That's who came up against his people. And she's referred to over and over and over as a harlot. But Rahab was a sinner chosen by God the Father in eternity, chosen by grace, not because of anything in her, because he loved her. That's why he chose her. He loved her. He loved her. Salvation is all of God's grace. It's not of him that willeth, not of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. And I'm sure, just like every sinner, that God gives faith, Rahab didn't mind being referred to as Rahab the harlot. Because that's a testimony to God's grace. Paul said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am." Presently, while I write this, Paul said, "I am the chief. I am the chief." So Joshua sent spies. He sent messengers. And it says they went and they came into a harlot's house named Rahab, and they lodged there. Now, at this point, Rahab's already heard the word of the Lord. She's already been given faith to believe the Lord. God has given her faith. She's heard the word. She believed the Lord. And just like Joshua sent these messengers in there to her, that's how God makes his people hear the word. How can they hear without a preacher? How can they preach except they be sent? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Now, he sent these messengers, that's what he had already done for Rahab. He'd sent her the word, and she heard the gospel, and he gave her faith to believe. Why did he do that? Why did they go to her house and not other houses? There was other houses in Jericho. Why did they go to her house? Because not only did God choose his people, he predestinated us unto the adoption of children. That means he predestinated to send his gospel to his people, call us, make us hear by the Spirit, and call us out. Paul said, "We're bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus." That's what she had experienced already. She wasn't seeking the Lord when the Lord sought her. She's a Gentile. She didn't have any of the promises. She didn't have any of the covenant. She didn't have anything that Abraham and other children of Israel had. She didn't have those things. She's outside of where God was speaking. He was speaking to Israel. She's outside of that completely. Well, then how'd she come to believe the Lord? He sought her. Here's an example. He said, I am sought of them that ask not for me. That's so of everybody he saves. Everybody. I am sought of them that ask not for me. I am found of them that sought me not. That throws a man for a loop. I'm found of them that don't seek me. How do you find the Lord when you don't seek him? Because he finds you. He finds you. And he says, behold me unto a nation that was not called by my name. That's him. So Rahab had been given faith by God, and she believed the Lord. Now what we're going to see here is a harlot's faith. A harlot's faith. We're going to see some things this harlot Rahab did by faith. Things she did by faith. These were works God worked in her, and it's began with faith, and it's works that are works of faith that she did by God. That's what we're going to see. Now, first of all, this was obvious, but maybe not. It's not so obvious. To somebody that's just hearing of the Lord, it might not be obvious. Faith believes and casts all care on the Lord. Faith believes. This is the first thing faith does, is cast it all into the hand of the Lord. Everything, confessing him before men, no longer ashamed of him. Look here in verse 9. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terrors fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. The Lord had sent her a messenger. She had heard who the Lord is and what the Lord was doing and was about to do. She had heard about the Lord. And she says, I know that the Lord hath given you the land. Faith believes salvation is the gift of God. He's given it to you, she said. Faith believes salvation, eternal life, righteousness, everything that we need, and we need everything, it's all given freely by God. She said, I know the Lord's given it to you. The wages of sin is death. If we die, if we perish, we will have earned that. We will have worked for that. And God will give us the wage we earn, is death. But if we're saved, it says the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. He gives you life. He gives you life. I was listening to an atheist last night, and he was just bragging about how he didn't believe God, and he said, they said, and somebody asked him, do you believe that you could be wrong about God? And he said, perhaps I could be. Maybe there's a God that I just don't know anything about, that I can't know anything about unless he makes me know him. And I thought, man, I'd like to tell you about that one, because that's the one you don't know. That's the one you're going to have to, and he's going to have to give you the heart to know him. It's a gift. We receive not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which of God is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Freely given to us of God. Even this faith she had is a gift of God. By grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Faith hears. And faith believes that Christ is the way. Faith hears by God's grace, and faith believes Christ is the way. She said here in verse 10, we've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt. The Lord made the way for you. The Lord brought you the way. The Lord Jesus Christ dried up the sea for his people. He did it for you who are his people. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this earth, and his whole purpose was to, there was a sea that was separating us from God, the sea of wrath that we could not come through. And he dried it up, satisfying justice to bring his people through that sea to God. That's what he did. He's the way. He not only leads us in the way, He is the way. He said, this cup, when He poured that wine and instituted the Lord's table, He said, this cup is the New Testament. It represents the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. He laid down His life. She said, He dried up the Red Sea for you. That's what faith, that's what God makes us here by faith. He dried up the Red Sea for you. For you. Faith's personal. Faith's extremely personal. He makes you know He dried it up for you. For you. And she heard what the Lord gave the children of Israel, that He gave them the victory over their enemies. She said in verse 10, I heard what you did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. She's an Amorite. And she said, I heard how you destroyed the kings of the Amorites. Well, they didn't do it. They were vessels used to do it, but who really did it? The Lord did it. And that's what she's talking about. God in Christ gave His people the victory. He gave us the victory. Turn over to Romans 8. Let's read this again. You can't read this too much. And I think that Paul said to repeat the same things unto you. It's not grievous to me. And for you it's safe. Let's see it again. Romans 8:29. Listen to the word He right here. Read this. The word He. Verse 29. Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called, and whom He called, them He also justified, and whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? She said, I heard you destroyed all your enemies. God did it. God did it. He said, He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is He that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that's risen again, who's even at the right hand of God, who makes intercession for us. Who goes separate us from the love of Christ? And He says in verse 37, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Do you see this? When she says, I heard how you conquered all these enemies, it's just like everything else she's saying here. The Lord did this for you, and I heard about Him, and I've heard what He's done. Have you heard what the Lord's done? Is somebody sitting here this evening that's heard what the Lord's done? When she heard, you know what happened? The other unbelievers in Jericho, their hearts fainted because they were afraid of God and knew they were going to die and He wasn't going to save them. But when she heard it, this is the difference between God gives you faith. When she heard it, God gave her a new heart that fainted in that she quit resisting God and bowed and believed Him. That's the difference. Same word, same God, same message. One hears it and their heart faints in unbelief and they just say, there's no use. But the one He gives faith, their heart melts in faith and submission and bows and casts it all on His mercy. Look here in verse 11. She said, as soon as we heard, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. And she knew. And she bowed, she believed, and she said, verse 11, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. True faith, confess it, it believes on the Lord, casts all on His mercy, and confesses before men, He's the Lord, He's salvation. He's given you everything. He's conquered your enemy. It's Him. I need to be saved by Him. Remember what Paul told the Philippian jailer when he asked, what must I do to be saved? That's a good question. What must you do to be saved? Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And that goes for everybody in your house. Everybody in your house. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. believe on him. That means apart from trying to do anything to save yourself, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. A believer who's been in the faith 30 years needs to hear that same word every day. You need to hear somebody tell you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we, when we first are coming to him, you need to hear it. Believe on him. Believe on him. Confess him before men in believer's baptism. Unite with his people. Here's the second thing. Faith receives brethren. Faith receives brethren. When you believe on Christ, you'll receive his people. It says here, she received these spies. They came to her house and she received them. Now let me give you something from Hebrews 11, verse 31. It says, by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. She received these men in peace by faith. By faith. People don't, you're a believer, and when you go to somebody's house that doesn't believe, and you start telling them what the Lord's done, what he's going to do, they don't receive you with peace if they don't believe the Lord. She received them with peace because she believed the same Lord they preached when they came to her. And when God's given us faith in Christ, we receive his people as brethren. We receive his messengers as sent from Christ himself. She welcomed these men, though she just met them, because she believed God sent them to her. They were messengers sent to her from the Lord, and she believed that. And she received them as such. She believed that. My temptation, which was in my flesh, Paul said. He said this to the Galatians. My temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not nor rejected, but received me as an angel from God, even as Jesus Christ. That's how the brethren received Paul at the first, when God had given them faith. By faith, Rahab received their word as the word of the Lord. She heard the Lord speaking and what these men said. And she heard that word. And she knew that's the word of the Lord. That's his voice. And so she received them. She received them. Paul said, for this cause we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Now, we try to preach the gospel as plainly as we can preach the gospel. I try to preach to the youngest person here. That's who I try to preach to their understanding. When I print the bulletin, I do that spelling check and that grammar check, and at the end of it, it tells you what grade level your writing is. And I'm down to about fourth grade level, and I'm trying to get lower if I can. But it's not our preaching in simplicity that's going to make anybody believe. A child won't believe because you can show it to them in a coloring book so they can understand it. They won't understand it. They have to be taught of the Lord and hear it in their heart. And hear it in their heart. But when we hear his voice, when you hear him speak through men, you know his voice. You know it's Christ speaking because you hear the word of the Lord. You hear it spoken in truth, and you follow him because it's a rare and precious thing. Do you think about it? When you're walking through your daily life, how often do you hear somebody speak the truth of God? How often? And when you do, does it not cause you to perk up and go, did I just hear his voice? That's what he said. My sheep hear my voice. And when you meet somebody that speaks the truth of the gospel, and they keep speaking, and everything they say is true according to the word, you realize this is a rare thing. I have met a believer out in the world. Well, that's so. When you hear his gospel preached, it's a rare and precious thing. If you grow up hearing it, it might not be rare and precious to you. But it's a rare and precious thing. Rare and precious thing to God's people. Here's the third thing. By faith, she protected her brethren. Verse 2, Joshua 2:2. It was told the king of Jericho. This is her king, the king of Jericho. saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. He sent to Rahab. He'd heard this, heard these men went to her house, and he sends his men to her house, and he says, You got these men in your house, now bring them out. That's what he sent his messengers to her to say. Verse 4, And the woman took the two men and hid them. And this is what she said. There came men unto me, but I don't know where they are. Came to pass by the time of shutting the gate, when it was dark, the men went out, and where the men went, I don't know. Pursue after them quickly. Go, she said, you better get after them. You're going to miss them if you don't go after them. Pursue them quickly. But she brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. I've heard legalists condemn Rahab for lying to the king's men, but God didn't condemn her. He never condemns her. In fact, God holds this very thing up right here as a work of faith. Now, let me ask you something. If you knew this story without knowing God said it's a work of faith, would you say it's a work of faith? Probably wouldn't, would you? What does that say? Why does God call it a work of faith? Because he knew her heart that he gave her and the faith he put there. And he worked this. And you and I don't know that. You and I are not all-knowing God. We can't see another person's heart. Can I see another person's heart? God knew her motive was faith. And God looks on the heart. If the motive is faith, that's what God put it there. God worked it. That's what God receives. And he holds this up as a work of faith. It says in James 2:25, Was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way? Now understand, Rahab hiding these spies along with these other things she did was a work of faith produced by God, which justified her faith as being God-given faith. It justified her faith as being God-given faith, but it did not justify her and make her righteous before God. That's not what James is talking about. This was a work that proved God had really put faith in her heart and she really believed God. She really believed God. Our faith does not justify us before God's holy law. Our works don't justify us before God's holy law. Christ justified us by his blood, laying down his life at Calvary. But God works of faith in us by which it's proven that we really believe God. Now, how do we see her faith as genuine right here? This was a work wherein she was under much pressure, where she had to entirely trust God. Just like Abraham, he's another one God holds up as a work of faith. God said, offer up your only son Isaac, who I just promised to you that I'm going to bring a seed through, I'm going to bring the Savior through him, and I'm going to save a people through him. Now you go kill him on an altar. And faith said, my son, God will provide. He'll provide himself. He'll provide himself a lamb. I don't understand what he's doing. I don't know what he's going to do. I don't know how he's going to work this out. I just know this. God will provide. And he believed God was able to raise Isaac from the dead. And he received him from the dead in a figure, because in his heart he slew that boy. He slew him. And Rahab right here proved that she believed God. She proved she feared God more than men. I can tell you, when these men came to her house, these men put the pressure on her. These men, it's not that she wasn't shaking before these men. It wasn't that these men weren't putting her under tremendous, tremendous amounts of pressure to try to force her to tell them, where are these men? But she feared God more than she feared them. She feared God more than she feared men. Not only that, she did this because she loved God's people. She did this to protect God's people. The Lord's people that he's given faith, they don't want to see his people hurt. They don't want to see his people hurt in any way. When you do anything that hurts your brethren, that hurts you enough as it is. You don't want to do anything else that's going to hurt God's people. You just don't. And if anybody else has faith and trusts the Lord and loves the brethren, they're not going to want to see the brethren hurt either. And so you protect your brethren. You protect your brethren. If she told the king where they were, the king's going to kill these men. He's going to kill the children of Israel. The king of Jericho and his men are under the power of the devil. That's the devil looking for God's people and trying to separate God's people and sow discord among God's people and destroy God's people. God's preacher stands up and says, seek peace with one another. Lay aside your differences. Put aside your pride that you got to be right and bow to Christ and cover your brother's sins. Cover their nakedness because you got a lot of nakedness. Yours can be uncovered, you know, just a heartbeat. But God's people want to do that because you want to protect your brethren. You want to protect your brethren. And she did this for God's glory. She believed God was all-powerful and that he could handle this. She believed, I'm sure she didn't know how it was going to turn out, but what she did know was this. She wanted to see Joshua come in there and conquer that city and deliver her out. And she thought he would. She believed he would. And brethren, Joshua's a picture of Christ. And whatever we're doing it because of this. We fear God more than men. We believe God and trust him that he can work it out. And he can glorify himself. And he can save his people. And we love our brethren and we want to protect them. And this rules everything God's people do. And you may not understand it. You may not understand how God's working it out. He may be telling you to kill your only son, and you don't understand how that's going to glorify him. You just trust him. Even when other people are saying, well, that's not faith. Well, they can't see your heart. If you believe God, you cast it on him, and you trust him, and you follow him. And don't listen to what anybody else says. Fourthly, by faith, she told the messengers the best way to get to Joshua. When she sent them out, James said Rahab the harlot was justified by works, her faith justified as being genuine faith, when she received the messengers and sent them out another way. This work wasn't finished when she hid them, and when she sent them out, she told them the way to go. Verse 15. Joshua 2:15, she let them down by a cord through the window. Her house was up on the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said to them, get you to the mountains, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may you go your way. And they did what she said. They went, and then where'd they end up? They ended up coming to Joshua. They ended up coming to Joshua. That's a picture of telling our brethren and telling other lost sinners the way to Joshua, the way to Christ our Savior. That's what we're here for. Your brother, your sister being pursued by somebody, they're out to get them and they're trying to kill them. What you going to do? Point them to Christ. You're going to tell them the way to Christ. Get to him. Go to him. You meet some sinner that's helpless that needs redemption. What are you going to tell them? Go to Christ. Go to Christ. And that's what she did. She told them the way. Faith tells others Christ is the way and sends them to Christ. Sends them to Christ. All these works were works of faith that she did. Now lastly, This is the most important right here. Of everything, this right here is the most important. By faith, she stayed in the house under the blood until the end. She stayed in the house under the blood until the end. These men made a promise to Rahab that they would deliver her, but she had to stay in the house where the scarlet lion was bound. Look at verse 18. It said, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by, and bring your father and your mother and your brethren and your father's household home to thee. And whosoever goes out of these doors, their blood's going to be upon their head. If we kill them, we kill them." That's what they're saying. "But everybody that's in this house right here, his blood's on our head if we harm them." And they said to her, they said, "We promise you we will not be guilty of breaking this oath to you. We will not. You bind this scarlet thread in your window, and you stay in this house with your brethren." Brethren, that scarlet line typifies the blood of Christ. Faith rests in the blood of Christ. We cast it all on the blood of Christ. We believe on Christ, trusting his blood to be our salvation. Blood, blood, blood. Blood's all through the Bible. "He who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He suffered the wrath his people deserved to save us from our sins." And the scripture said, God set him forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, through the forbearance of God, to declare God just and justifier of his people. Scripture says, in him we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." That scarlet line wasn't just some little thread she put in the window. She let them down the wall on that thing. We're talking about blood that won't let you go. It won't let you fall. It won't let you fall away to your death. His blood is going to sustain his people. His blood, the Lord God said, "When I see the blood, I'll pass over those that are in the house, trusting him." And when that's what they told her. "When we see that scarlet line, we're going to pass over this house." And so she went around and told all her brethren and all her friends, "If you want to be saved, get in this house and trust the word of these men that have preached to us. And he's coming. When they come, they're going to spare us. God's going to pass over us." That's what we're preaching. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Confess him. Unite with your brethren. Here's the gist of all these works. Whatever's turning you away from Christ, turn away from it to Christ, and turn your brethren away from it to Christ. And there's going to be a lot of that. You're going to have plenty of that to turn from throughout your days. Part of it is we don't see ourselves right now where we're sitting as harlots. That's part of it. That's why she was always called a harlot. We need to always remember, if we could see God holy as he is and see ourselves as we are, but for the righteousness of Christ, if we saw ourselves as we are, just harlots, is anybody less of a harlot? Anybody more of a harlot? I think the Lord's pretty clear. The worst of the worst are those that don't think they're harlots, think they're righteous without Christ. Brethren, the best of our deeds, the best of what we do, we just painted harlots, really. But if you're in the house and you're under the blood and you're trusting Christ and he's all your hope and all your salvation, God promises by his covenant, all his promises are yes in Christ and amen in Christ. Just like that word they gave to her. "We're coming through, but we will not pour out justice on one of them." It's been poured out on Christ. It's satisfied. God's honor, God's laws upheld. God's going to save his people. Are you one of them? How do you know? Believe on him. That's how you know. And get in the house with his people and unite with his people. And let me tell you something. Rahab believed that city was going to be destroyed. And ain't nothing that would have made her leave that house. If you really believe this whole place is going to be destroyed, and real soon, you'll get in the house of the Lord, You'll get under the blood of Christ. Trust him. And I don't care if her daddy was the most cantankerous rascal there was, and all her brothers and sisters and whoever else she brought in that house was as hard as they could be to live with. I bet she said, it ain't worth going outside the house. It ain't worth being found out there when Joshua comes through and burns up the whole city. I want to be right here because I believe him. I believe him and I trust him. And that's where you'll be. That's where you'll be. Let men make all the excuses they want to. I'll tell you who can leave the house. Those who can. That's what it amounts to. Those who can't. Can't because God's keeping you. He's going to keep you united with his people. And you ain't leaving him. That's just so. That's just so. Well, what happened to her? Let me stop it real quick. Let me show you this last thing. What happened to her? Look over chapter 6. Verse 20, they circled the city and they blew the trumpet. And one of these days, Christ is coming back. He's blowing the trumpet. This whole place is going to be burned up. And when he did that, all the walls fell down on the city. Now, her house was in the wall. Her house was in that wall. Big. We're not talking about just a little privacy fence around your house. We're talking about a big old wall that's thick enough to have a house in it. It fell down flat. All the way around. Look here, verse 20. The wall fell down flat, except one place. It didn't fall down in one place. I just see it starting right here at this side of her house, and going all the way around, just falling down, all the way around that big city, bigger than New York City, going all the way around, gets right back to her house. Stop falling. When it got done, it wasn't but one house standing, just that piece of wall where her house was. That's how it's going to be in the end. The Lord's going to burn everything up because it can all be burned up. There's going to be one house that's not going to be burned up. That's the Lord's house. That's his people redeemed by his righteousness, called into his house by his power and grace, kept there by his power and grace. Brethren who love each other in spite of one another and because they love the Lord more than they love each other. Kept there, trusting him, looking to him. And in the end, when every other house is burned down, the whole world is burned up, there'll be one house. That's his house. That's his house. Brethren, believe on Christ. Stay in the house. Stay in the house. I'll point out something to you here too. Verse 25, it says, Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive in her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel unto this day. You ever read something like that? You think, well, she don't dwell there today. Oh, yes, she does. She's still dwelling there today. She's right there in Israel with God right now, today. Because she believed the Lord. That's where you'll be if you believe him, trust him. Amen.